Pastor David from International Baptist Church in Stuttgart. This is Easter Sunday. What a wonderful day it is to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen indeed, and we are grateful that he is alive. And not only has he risen from the dead, but he is alive forevermore. He did not merely come out of the tomb, but he came out of the tomb with the resurrection body that will be our body one day. We'll all be like him. He is called the first fruits of those who are risen from the dead. And his body was incorruptible. His resurrection body was incorruptible, and ours will also be incorruptible. All the sicknesses and problems that plague us in this life will not plague us in the next. But the resurrection also has meaning for us in this life. We see that Jesus really is able to give life, real life, not just physical life, but spiritual life, life with meaning and purpose and peace and joy and contentment, life that is growing, life that is like God, like Christ, has the same image as the Creator. This is the life that Christ gives. And because of the resurrection, we know he is able to save us, and able to change us, and able to lead us and give us true life. Well, during this time of crisis, let me encourage you to pray for the nation's leaders. In Germany, we're praying for the leaders both of the state in Baden-Württemberg, where we live, and also the state for the German Union, praying for the leaders in the federal government of Germany. Also pray with gratitude for the doctors and the nurses and all those involved in the healthcare business, and pray that they would make a vaccine soon and that this crisis would pass. But during these days, let me encourage you that God is still with us, and if you can pray, then pray for one another also. Pray for your fellow Christians, your church members. Pray for me as your pastor. And let this be a time where the church doesn't just cease to meet, but rather a time when we are focused on prayer. Many of us are praying nightly at 7 o'clock, and let me encourage you to do that as well. So, this morning, I just want to give a simple message about the surprise of the resurrection. The disciples did not really expect Jesus to be crucified, and they certainly did not expect him to be resurrected. Although, according to Scripture, he taught them that would be what would happen. But even after his crucifixion, they still did not understand that he must rise from the dead. The Old Testament prophecies spoke about the Messiah's life being prolonged after his death, and we understand that's a reference to the resurrection. But here in the end of the Gospel of John, we see this account where Jesus on that first Easter Sunday, in the evening, he appeared to the disciples. Our text is John 20, verses 19. I'm going to read down to verse 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus made a surprise appearance to the disciples, but God always surprises us. God initiates our salvation, and we see all through the story of Scripture how God surprised people with calling them and finding them. God must find us before we find them. Just looking at the Scripture, we find examples of this. For example, God found Moses in the wilderness when he was all by himself, or practically by himself, tending sheep. God knew where he was and called him out of the wilderness to be a deliverer. But also God found Samuel in the temple in Shiloh in those years before the temple was built in Jerusalem. But he was found by God in that temple during a time of great ungodliness among the priesthood. And David was found caring for sheep. Peter was found washing out his nets on the side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Paul was found as he was going to persecute the church. And the Philippian jailer was found in the midst of doing his job at apparently a very low time in his life. but God found him. And we can go not just through the characters of the Bible, but also in our own lives, and we can understand that in each of our lives, God found us at some point and called us to believe in him. Now, this is what Jesus taught. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And Jesus draws us to himself in different ways. We can understand that both from a series of events around us God allows to happen, or sometimes God causes to happen, and also from someone preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel and we hear it, but also from the Spirit who calls to our hearts and calls us to believe. He said to the disciples in John 15:16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Well, we have this surprise resurrection appearance of Jesus. It's just typical of the way God works. Suddenly he appears before the disciples. They were all locked in, trying to protect themselves, but Jesus appeared and changed their outlook, changed their that evening, and changed their life, and is still changing our lives to this day. Now, just one of four things we can see what this teaches us. First of all, the resurrection of Christ overcomes our fear. The disciples were afraid of being found out. They had just seen Christ crucified, and they knew that these religious leaders that had him crucified could very easily come after them. So they were meeting together, closed the door so no one could know where they were. And suddenly Jesus appears in their midst. Now, there's a fear of death that we all have. That's one of the things that they were experiencing. Also the fear of enemies, fear of what someone may do to us, a fear of lies they may spread or rumors they may spread or something they may say that would hurt us. A fear also of our own consequences of our own sins. We may fear that I did something or I said something and someone may retaliate or someone may hurt me or someone may find out what I did, and either it be a punishment or maybe just an embarrassment. But all these are common fears. And Christ came to that place, came in there, and he said, "Peace be unto you." And Jesus takes away our fears. Because he is resurrected, he takes away our fears. He has the power to do this. Whether our fears come from guilt or whether they come from the fear of what someone could do to us, Jesus takes away our fears. One of the most beautiful passages of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 8. And it's one of those that we quote often. And here's what we see. It says Romans 8, verse 31 to the end of the chapter. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that a beautiful text? Just encouraging us about the presence of God with us. Well, the resurrection gives us that assurance. So what are you afraid of right now? What are the fears that rob you of joy? Perfect love, perfect grace should remove those fears. Secondly, the resurrection produces joy. The disciples were overjoyed. Now, there are joy killers everywhere. Everywhere we look in life, wherever we go, we'll find someone who is out to kill the joy of other people. Now, why do they do this? Well, they have their own problems. They have their own issues. But it's no fun to deal with people like that. You see them, you experience them, and I experience them as well. I pray that I'm never like that for anyone, and I pray that you aren't either, that if you are a joy killer, that you would stop being that and try to be a joy producer rather than criticizing and putting people down and taking away their joy, that you would be able to share the joy of the Lord with them. Well, there was, in this appearance of Jesus, there is almost laughter in the air. They were overjoyed. That word that's translated joy is kairo in Greek, and it really means glad for grace. It means that because of the power of the grace of God, they were overjoyed. They realized how great Jesus really was. Just a few days earlier, he had said to them at the resurrection of Lazarus, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." That's in John 11:25. And it's a wonderful promise that Jesus is the one who can give life. So why are we afraid? Why are we fearful? Why do we not have more joy? Well, the Lord gives us joy if we will allow him to do it. One of the attributes of the Spirit of God is joy in our hearts. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy is from God, and it's stronger, it's deeper, and even when we're going through a difficult time, we can still have the joy of the Lord. Well, this is what God brings to us. They were overjoyed. They were excited about this. Let me ask you, what destroys your joy today? What robs you from enjoying the life of Christ? Is it worries? Is it worry about the future or worry about the past? Is it fear, or is it some people you're trying to please? Well, realize that God wants to give you joy, and that just receive it by his grace. Just as disciples were standing there and realizing that Jesus, who had been crucified, was now with them alive, they were overjoyed. Can you imagine the conversation they must have had, the thoughts that went through their mind? As they had to ask the question, and some of them were trying to process it, I'm sure some of them said, "Well, who was that on the cross? Then you're still alive." And Jesus said, "No, that was me on the cross." "Well, how is it then you're alive?" "Because I'm God, and I've been raised from the dead." And gradually they understood this. And because Jesus came out of the tomb, we should always be joyful. There's nothing that life can throw at us that is greater than the power of God to resurrect. We're all leaving this life at one point. We should not worry about that fact. It's just a universal truth. But we should have joy and peace in our heart because of the world we're going to, because we know that no matter what happens, we'll never be separated from God's love. Or thirdly, the resurrection of Christ produces peace. We see him saying twice in this section, "Peace be unto you." The end of inner conflict, the end of the inner struggle of life. There's many things that we struggle with in our hearts. Some people struggle against unresolved lust, unresolved pride, or unresolved fear, something unresolved conflict. Maybe they have so much pride they can never go back and apologize to someone, and they need to get that off of their hearts and out of their lives, but they hold on to it because of their own issues of pride, and that just produces more conflict in them. But another attribute of the Spirit of God, another attribute of the grace of God, is the peace of God. It's the end of bitterness, the end of holding a grudge against someone. Here in this passage, he spoke about forgiving others. We have, immediately following this section, we have the story of Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. But Thomas comes across as a skeptic, and often skeptics have issues with which they need to forgive people that have hurt them, and they look at a negative outlook in life. And Thomas is the one who said, "Unless I can put my fingers in where the nails went, and put my hand in the side, I will not believe." And then Christ appeared to him, and he said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And God used Thomas. In fact, that was a life-changing event in his life. According to tradition, Thomas was one of the disciples that went very far in his missionary work, went as far as India, and spread the gospel there in the very first Christian century. So the peace that God gives brings us into a new relationship with ourselves, a new relationship with community. We can now have friends. We can be quick to forgive and enjoy one another, quick to confess and make amends and get right with one another. This is the peace that God gives. He gives us through Christ that we can enjoy life and enjoy one another. The final thing we see from this passage is the resurrection of Christ also anticipates a mission. He says in this verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He was saying, not only do you have your fear removed, and not only do you have peace, and not only do you have joy, but you're also going to be on a mission for me. Now, he's referring to the apostles here, but he's also referring to all Christians. All of us are like this, that we are all sent into the world. Every Christian is to be a missionary. Every Christian is to be a servant, a spokesman for God. We're all to take our stand and share our faith in the world. We don't always need to go around telling everybody all the time that we're Christians, but we ought to live by it and share whenever we have the opportunity and pray for opportunities. Pray for our neighbors and our friends and our family members and see what doors God will open. But he called them to share the gospel. He told them to go out in the world. In fact, he said here to Thomas, he said, you have seen and you believe. You believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I'm one of those that never saw the resurrected Christ, but I believe because someone told me. And the Holy Spirit gave this word in my heart. And he changed me and saved me and brought me into his family because of his witness. What must happen before someone becomes a Christian is not just they hear the message, but that the Holy Spirit gives a witness in their heart. And that's another way that God calls us. He draws us to his own heart, and what we are to do is to believe and trust in him. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I'd like to encourage you to do that right now. What it takes is for you to simply admit that you're a sinner and you need God's forgiveness, and also put your faith and trust in Jesus and tell him you believe in him. I'd like to say a simple prayer, and if you've never trusted in Christ, let me encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it in your own heart and pray it to God, and he will hear you. Just let me lead us in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. I believe that you rose from the grave. Lord, I turn from my sins, and I turn to put my faith and my trust in you. I pray that you would give me the new life you promised and forgive my sins. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In your name I pray, amen. Now that's a simple prayer to pray. There's no magic in the words, but it's a matter of you saying, Lord, I understand my need of your grace, and I believe that you are who you say you are, that you are the resurrection and the life. You are the one who has died for my sins and risen from the grave, and now you're able to give me not just life after death, but a new life today. You know, for a Christian, eternal life begins the second we trust in Christ. Life is always about going forward with Christ. Well, the resurrection should tell us anything. It tells us that we don't have to worry about anything. We can trust every day in Christ. We can leave all of our concerns in his hands and know that God is more powerful than anything this world can throw at us. I pray that God would bless you. If I could help you in any way, please feel free to write to me at pastor@ibcstuttgart.de. And we'd be glad to pray with you. And if you trust in Christ, particularly through this video, I'd like to know about it. So please write me an email and just let me know what God is doing in your heart and your life. I pray that God would bless you. Let me close us in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We pray, Lord, as we end this service, that you would speak to our hearts beyond this, just these few moments, and continue to encourage us about your greatness and your power. The resurrection tells us that there's nothing too great for you. And Lord, not even death is able to conquer your power. So Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Pray that you'd give us the confidence we need and the joy and the peace and the sense of purpose that we need in order to follow you and to honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.